Welcome to Books on Air, the show that tells the story behind the book. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I'll talk to the author about their latest project. We'll tell you when or if you can find them on social media, and perhaps we'll even give you the opportunity to meet them. Today, my guest is Cary Freeman, and he and I are talking about his latest book, Now That I Think About It, A Story of a Lifetime or Two. Cary, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you're
glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. This is not your first book. Now, you've written, I believe, five other books, and you've ghostwritten for somebody as well?
That's correct, yes.
How did you get involved in writing in the first place?
It's strange. I used to write small articles for community services, community newspapers, and I just enjoyed the creative thought, and I said to myself, one day I'm going to write a book. But I never got a good idea that would sustain itself. And then I got a dream one night, an idea for a mystery novel, which I called Triple Score. And I sat down with a pen and a legal pad, and I started handwriting a book. And it flowed. It was an idea that sustained itself, and I enjoyed it. I ought to point out that in many ways, my father did a similar thing. After he retired, he also wrote articles, op-eds, and stuff like that. I don't know, but I just thought maybe I was trying to emulate him.
You know, often that does happen. There will be someone in the family who has either written as your father did, or they were a professional writer, or they'll be somehow connected to writing. And often that will springboard the next person to start writing, as it seems to have done to you.
Well, it made an impression, for
why,
sure.
Why did you decide to write an autobiography?
I thought it would be interesting. As I said, I've traveled a lot. I've been all over the world. The only continent that I haven't been on yet is Australia, probably because it's the furthest, and I'm not sure that there's an awful lot there that I want to see. But I've been all over, seen a lot of things, done a lot of things, accomplished a lot of things, become reasonably comfortable financially. And I thought I'd like to, and of course, I'm very fond of my entire family, and I include them in most everything that I do.
Tell me a little bit about what's in the book.
My bio. It starts off at when I was young. And when I was young, I had a very difficult, not normal life. I didn't have a lot of friends or play sports or stuff like that. And my mother, although very caring, was a little too caring, and tried to shelter me. And I kind of rejected. And then I rejected the world.
Wow.
Seriously. Seriously, you know, a spoiled, you know, a brat. Until I found myself out in the world with a family and a normal life, and I had to produce. There were times when I had to earn, for example, when I bought my first home, which was, I think it was 26 or 27, I had to earn an extra $500 a month. Money was different in 1949.
Yes, it was. I agree.
Or 1950, you know, in the 50s. And $500 a month. But I stretched for what I thought would be my ability to pay for would be a $20,000 house. Think about a $20,000 house. And I ended up buying a house for $37,000, which was like almost double what I anticipated. And so I had to earn more money for the down payment. And I ended up with the biggest mortgage on the block because I kind of forced the builder to supply it by telling him he had to. He had no choice. Anyway, I lived in that house for 42 years and then sold it for $1 million.
Pretty darn good investment.
I lived there for 42 years. But more than that, my children grew up there. My grandchildren grew up there. And they cried when we sold the house because it was like selling a part of their life.
I'm sure.
And now I'm living in Florida for the last 17 years. And it's the same thing. My kids come to me often, and I'm pleased that they find home, if you know what I mean.
I do, and I agree with you. I think that's wonderful. What kind of jobs did you have? What did you do all of your life to earn money?
When I started, I worked as a longshoreman.
Did you really?
Yeah, skinny, 130-pound kid was throwing around refrigerators and washing machines and stuff like that for Montgomery Ward on the docks. I've been a bookkeeper, a grease monkey, I don't know, all kinds of jobs. I worked for INS, International News Service, for about a year when I was 17. I've met a lot of celebrities, learned the newspaper business. INS and the Daily Mirror are now out of business, by the way. But that was an experience. I've done a lot of things until I went into my own business. I started a lot of businesses, well, many. And not all of them, were successful until I went into the rental car business, which was an interesting experience. Because at one point, in addition to my being an insurance broker or insurance agency, I used to buy and sell used cars. And one day I bought two Pintos and a Duster. I'm serious. Two Pintos and a Duster. I paid $100 a piece for them. And at that time, if I sold them for $200-$300, that was a big profit. But I thought to myself, instead of selling them, why don't I rent them? Because my customers, my clients, who had stolen cars, could only get from their insurance policy $10 per day for a period of 30 days. And in New York City, Brooklyn, where I had my headquarters and where I lived, you couldn't rent and still can't rent a car for $10 a day. So I got a lot of play on it. You know, the cars were constantly moving.
Very smart.
And as I took in money, I bought more. And within about a year or so, I had about 10, 12 cars out on the street. And then I progressed from there. In 1971, I think it was, I bought a dozen Gremlins for, I don't know, $1,400 a piece. Why, I'm throwing numbers around like I mean, nobody would believe. $1,400 a piece, brand new. And I financed them through AMC financial institution at 18% interest. That's all I could get.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
I don't pay 18% interest anymore. At this point, I have a FICO of over 800. So, you know, I get the best rate. But at that point, I was young and inexperienced and without an interest rating. Anyway, it built up so that by the time I sold the business, I was running between 300 and 400 cars in 8 to 10 locations throughout New York City, South New Jersey. And it built up to a point where it made me very comfortable.
Very creative businessman to start out with two Pintos and a duster and to build a business like that. I suppose that all of this is in your book. Is that right?
I would think so, yeah. Of course.
Carrie, when you were...
That's a great inspiration.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that's a stunning story. When you were writing your book, did you have an audience in mind that you thought might read it or that you wanted to read it?
I don't think so. A general audience, anybody and everybody. I really never aimed at a specific group. I don't know what group I would aim at.
Is there something you want them to take away from the book? If they read it cover to cover, the last time they close that back cover and put it down, is there something you want them to take away from your story?
Sure.
What?
Yes. Perseverance conquers. If you really want to do it, then go do it. And the secret of success is, 90%... perspiration and 10% imagination or something to that effect.
That's close enough.
In other words, you got to work at it.
Yeah. Well, and you've got to have some smarts. I mean, let's face it, you saw an opportunity. You were smart enough. You had your head up. You were looking around and you recognized a business opportunity when you saw it. And you took it. And I think that makes a big difference. Putting your head up, looking around, seeing what's really available.
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
If our listeners want to pick up a copy of the book, now I went to barnesandnoble.com this morning and I put the name of the book, and I'm going to give it again. Now that I think about it, A Story of a Lifetime or Two by Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. I just put that in their search feature, and I clicked on it, and your book came right up. So they could buy it at Barnes & Noble. Where else could they get hold of a copy, Carrie?
I should think that... there would be availability at Amazon. And another place that I'm really proud of, I live in Palm Beach County, Florida, and my book is available in the county library system on request. They hold two copies for local authors, and it can be gotten in the public library. But basically speaking, that's the only places that I know that it is available.
Now,
or they can always contact me at MrKings@AOL.com and ask me for a copy. I'll send them one.
Excellent. Well, your book is going to be featured at Book Expo America at the end of May in New York. Are you excited about that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
Are you going? You going to be there?
I don't think so. I really don't think so, because it becomes a little too much for me. As I said, at this point I'm 83. I'm mentally stable, but I don't walk that good.
And that's a big convention center. You're absolutely right. That's a big place.
More than that, I gotta get on a plane and go.
That's right.
And I have other commitments. I have other commitments to take care of, and I don't know if I'll have the time or the inclination.
I think it's thrilling that they're going to feature your book. This is a really, really big deal. And booksellers and authors from all over the United States, and I assume probably from outside the United States, come to this event. If our listeners want to know more about it, they could always Google Book Expo America in New York, and it's going to be the end of May into the 1st of June.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we've told them where they can find your book. We've told them it's going to be featured at Book Expo America. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Believe in yourself.
Good.
It's the best I can do.
I think that's a pretty darn good piece of advice. And if they want to find you on Facebook, you're also on Facebook, is that right?
Yes, correct. I had mentioned it's Mr. King's lowercase, MrKings@AOL.com.
Excellent. Carrie, you have just been delightful and motivating and inspirational. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you today. I want to thank you for being our guest today on Books on Air.
I thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Samuel Johnson once said, "A writer begins a book. A reader finishes it." I hope that you'll all join me for next time in our Books on Air. Until then, buy a book, read a book, share a book, and thank you so much for listening.